We are going to talk about male friendship this hour, men and their friends, and why 3/4 of the time a man's best friend and closest confidant is a woman, usually his wife or girlfriend, and why men tend to do stuff with their guy friends, but not really talk about stuff. What's going on here, and how does this all matter? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, and we welcome your calls. If you're a man, do you have a best friend? If you're a woman, are you your man's best friend? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Lisa Wade is our guest, associate professor of sociology at Occidental College in Los Angeles, a regular contributor to Jezebel, Salon, Ms., and the Huffington Post. She received her MS and her PhD in sociology at UW-Madison. And she is the author of a recent article on Salon titled American Men's Hidden Crisis, They Need More Friends. Thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, very happy to be here.
So how do we know that men, straight white men, as you write, have the fewest friends in America?
Well, we do surveys and we ask people how many close confidants do you have that you can talk to about personal things, confess insecurities. And men who are especially about 18 to 39, heterosexual, and white tend to report the fewest confidants.
Yeah, and, well, is it different for gay men or men of color?
It is a little bit different. They tend to report higher numbers of friends, and I'm not quite sure exactly why, but it might be because they have something to bond with other men about that's specific. So, for example, African-American men may bond with each other based on the struggles that they face with racism. It might also be that these men are less invested in the kind of masculinity that tends to push other kinds of men apart from one another.
And from these surveys, we find out that most of the time when a man has a close confidant, it's often his girlfriend or his wife. What's wrong with that?
Well, it's dangerous because if men lose that person, then they're often pretty lonely, pretty alone. It's not really good to put all of your eggs in one basket, so to speak. And so if for example, his spouse passes on or they get a divorce, then men have nobody else.
Yeah. Well, why do we think this is, that straight white men have so few friends? And when they have a best friend, it's often a woman.
Well, one of the reasons might be masculinity. So there's a really wonderful study by a woman named Naomi Way, and she interviewed young men in high school. And she interviewed the same men through every single year of high school. And when they're very young, 14, 15 years old, they'll speak about their male friends in really loving, sweet ways. I mean, just heart-wrenchingly sweet ways. There was one boy who talked about his best friend as being like a grown-up version of a teddy bear, the person he would go to for comfort. But those same men, as they get older, and they start to distance themselves from being that kind of person, the kind of person that needs and reaches out to other people. And oftentimes, by the time they're seniors in high school, these boys are saying, I don't need anybody. I'm totally okay just all by myself. And so there seems to be something about becoming a man that is culturally, there's a cultural importance to becoming an island.
Oh, yeah. And I think about it. When I was a little girl, we would often say, I love you to our friends. And we can still say, I love you to our friends. And straight guys have a hard time doing that.
Yes, unless they add man to the end, right?
Yeah, right. Dude.
Yes, to make sure that they're still very manly. I love you, man, right?
Well, what is, talk a little bit about how it is different with women. Well, how are friendships among men different than those among women?
Well, we find that friendships between men tend to be centered around activities. So men will often do stuff together, whether that's fixing cars or going out to bars or playing video games, that kind of thing. And that's great, and it gives them something to do, and it's fun, but it doesn't necessarily have a lot of self-disclosure. So they don't as often talk about their feelings, the things that are troubling them in their lives. And so Jeffrey Grief, who's a friendship scholar, he calls men's friendships, they're more shoulder to shoulder, and women's are more face to face.
Yeah, and why does this matter? Why does it matter if men, you know, do stuff together rather than talk about stuff together?
Well, so we asked, so scholars have asked men, is this okay with you? Is this the kind of friendship you want, right? Because we don't want to be measuring men's friendships with a female yardstick and telling men they need to have friendships just like women. But when you actually ask men, what kind of friendships do you want? They say the same thing that women say. They say, I want intimacy. I want connection with my friends. And so scholars are like, all right, maybe men mean something different by intimacy and connection. But if you ask them to define what they mean, they say the same thing. They want self-disclosure. So even though we have this idea that men don't want and don't need intimate, close, disclosing relationships with other people the way women do, the truth is that they very much do. And that should be, I don't know, that should resonate, right? They're human beings. They're not islands. And so really they're being, they're not getting something that they desperately would like to have. And I have to say, after writing for Salon this week, I've gotten so many emails from men who were so grateful that I said out loud that lots of men want intimacy with other men. And they felt very seen in a way that they aren't usually.
So why don't men just seek out that intimacy?
Well, so men in this country are aligned in a hierarchy, and some men are considered better men than others. And the way in which you stay up high in this status hierarchy is you try to do masculinity better than other men. And so when you break out of that mold, you risk really falling in this hierarchy. And so if a man opens up to another man and says, you know, gee, I really enjoy all these activities we do together. I wish we could also talk to each other about our feelings. A lot of times, well, first of all, it's very threatening. Okay? It's very scary to do that, no matter who you are. But it's particularly scary if you're male. And you risk actually being judged by that other person. And that's really scary as well. So it's asking a lot of men, individual men, to sort of fight this system in which they're all supposed to be really stoic and independent.
We are talking about male friendship with Lisa Wade, who is a sociologist and a writer. We're talking about her recent article, American Men's Hidden Crisis. They need more friends. And we wonder what you think. Are you a man looking for more intimacy in your friendships with other men? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Why do you think it is so many straight white men have the fewest friends of anyone in America? And those friendships are different. Men tend to do things with their male friends, activities, but they don't really talk to each other about their emotions or intimate issues. So we welcome your questions, your theories, your experiences at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Mark emails, I have conversations with my wife quite often on how I wish I had close friends. I try to make friends with coworkers, my wife's friends' husbands, and others. It seems to me that most men don't want that kind of a relationship with another man. I wish more men would open up and seek friendships with other men. So there you go. That's what you just said, Lisa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So is there any way that society can change to encourage closer ties among men?
Well, you know, we don't usually think of it this way, but really what we're seeing is a type of sexism that's really harmful to everybody and men in particular. We usually think about sexism as something that is where men are preferred over women. But there's also a type of sexism where we just prefer everything associated with men and masculinity over things associated with women and femininity. And so we think it's great, for example, when women, like our little girls, like to do boy-type things and they're tomboys. And a really good example lately is this Goldilocks toy, which is about getting girls into engineering. We just think this is so cool, right? But when boys and men do things associated with women, it can be stigmatizing or funny or even humiliating. So young boys that get interested in girl-type toys, a lot of times parents aren't as thrilled and they're more concerned. Or men who decide to go into feminized occupations, we look down on them a little bit compared to men who go into masculinized occupations. So really what we see is men trying to avoid femininity in their daily lives. And if we could get rid of that, then this would open up a whole half of the human experience to men that they're right now struggling, many men are struggling to try to keep away, even though it's just a very human part of who they are.
We'll take more of your calls and comments and questions about male friendship in just a moment. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking with Lisa Wade. She's an associate professor of sociology at Occidental College in Los Angeles and the author of a recent article on Salon titled American Men's Hidden Crisis. They Need More Friends. So do you need more friends or closer male friends? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Let's go to Rick in Mosinee. Hello, Rick.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me on.
Go ahead.
Here's my thing is I just wondered, I mean, you're talking a lot as if this is fact, as if this is so. I mean, you're a sociologist. I was just wondering, you know, where the information comes from, because in an age where, you know, there's stay-at-home dads, I think things have really evolved to the point where I don't see it around with my friends, and I've got, you know, really close male friends, and I listened to On Point yesterday, and the whole discussion of toys. I mean, I could maybe see that coming up in the next, you know, generation or so, because, you know, more than ever, we're doing that with our kids. You know, my son, for instance, he's a nurse. Actually, you know, when he was a kid, he had a Cabbage Patch guy, and he just loved that guy. I mean, you know, so I can see it maybe coming, but I where you're getting your information from, that's what I want to know. Thank you.
Oh, well, of course we're talking about averages, right? So there are men with incredibly intimate friends out there, and there are women that don't have intimate friends and that are very lonely. And so we're really talking about averages. And the studies are coming, they're both the quantitative data from surveys where men just report what kind of friendships they have. And then there's also studies based on interviews. So people are interviewed about what their friendships are like. And I recommend looking up Jeffrey Grief. He did research on men's friendships that were interview based. And so there's lots of great information there.
And again, we talked about this right in the very beginning of the show. Is this recent information, Lisa, or is it from years and years ago? Could it be that it's different today?
You know, it's recent information, and I would say starting in the 80s and then through to till today. But this men's loneliness is rather new, historically speaking, because before women were considered equal to men in this country, right, which is within the last 50 years or so, most men were friends with men. Specifically, they would have thought women were totally inappropriate to be friends with because they weren't considered equals. So even, say, in the Victorian era through the early 1900s, men were a lot more intimate with one another than they are now. So historically speaking, this is a rather new development.
Yeah, well, our caller brought up things like stay-at-home dads, and I didn't hear the program On Point regarding toys, but I assume it had to do with gender differences with toy selection, and those lines are blurring a whole lot more. Is that going to, do you think, change the nature of male friendship?
If we're really going in that direction, if it's really changing and we're embracing more men embracing their feminine side, then yeah, I think that will change things. And we are seeing rises in things like stay-at-home dads, but they're not dramatic, sweeping changes in society. There may be twice as many stay-at-home dads now as there were 10 years ago, but we were starting from, 1.5% or something like that. So it's not true quite yet that we see men abandoning this desire to be masculine and embracing their feminine side.
Thanks, Rick, for the call. Mark in Black Creek is with us now. Hi, Mark.
Hi there. Yeah, I just love what you said about the averages, because my wife and I are the opposite of what the average would be. A friendship for her ends, and she's like, it just naturally ends. And for me, I mourn that loss. And I'm one of those guys who wishes I had more closer, intimate friends, guy friends. And I don't. And I think society, with advertising and with Mr. Macho stuff, kind of pushes that away, because if I seek male friendship, I'm always constantly fearing that they're going to see me as, well, maybe he's hitting on me.
Yeah.
And I'm totally cool with the whole gay lesbian issue, but there's a lot of guys who aren't.
Well, is there some sort of a homophobic fear going on with men, Lisa Wade, with not wanting to perhaps appear to be gay if they're close?
Sure, and I don't think that's separate from this need to perform masculinity, because performing masculinity in part is about being a strong heterosexual, right? That's part of what they have to do, and not being interested in men that way. And so the homophobic part of this is all wrapped up in this project that men are expected to embark upon, which is about being a manly man. So absolutely, that's part of the concern, and it's certainly part of how men are policed by other people into staying in that masculine box, right? So we have words like fag that are used to control men's masculinity. There's wonderful research by C.J. Pascoe, who's another sociologist, who says that when men use the word fag to insult one another, to tease and insult, they actually don't mean you're gay. They mean you're feminine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what about his, he touched on it, that he thinks that the media's portrayal of men is also a problem, is it?
Oh, absolutely. And we are seeing a sort of backlash in the media right now, even since, say, the 80s, where the expectations for men to be manly are being ratcheted up. So we had the second wave feminist movement in the 60s and 70s, and then since then, we've been retrenching this idea of masculinity as a way of backlash against the change that was initiated in the 60s and 70s. So think about, like, the 80s pop stars, No Tears for Fears, and, Boy George. There was actually a lot more flexibility with masculinity back then than there is now.
Yeah, I know you're not here necessarily to be provide advice for men looking for friendship, but I here's Mark who mourns a friendship when he loses it. He wants more close male friends, but thinks others are afraid of that. What's a guy to do?
Well, I think two things, right? So one, they have to get comfortable with who they are themselves and be able to embrace their own humanity, which is really hard in this society. So they have to acknowledge that they need this kind of relationship. And then they have to be willing to risk losing esteem in the eyes of other men. And that's pretty scary. And so when they reach out to these men, they have to be willing to suffer that, at least a little bit, or at least in the beginning. But men, I think, should be really encouraged, because there are lots of men who really want this connection, even if it makes them uncomfortable, even if their first reaction to being reached out to is negative or insecure. I think that the fact that so many men want this connection should be encouraging. So one is, you just gotta take the risk and reach out. And two, you have to understand that a lot of men don't really know how to be good friends. It hasn't been modeled for them. They don't have a lot of practice doing it. So when men are friends with other men, close, confidant-type friends, they may have to tolerate men kind of not doing it right and teach them how. And so that can be hard, too, especially when you're feeling vulnerable if your male friend, sort of maybe he doesn't call you after when you have like a surgery scheduled. He doesn't bother to call and follow up and check up and see how you did, and it hurts your feelings. You have to put yourself out there even more and let him know, this is how you be a good friend, and you hurt me when you didn't follow up.
Thank you, Mark, for the call. I'm Joy Cardine talking with Lisa Wade. She's an associate professor of sociology at Occidental College in L.A., and she is the author of a recent piece on Salon, which we have on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, American Men's Hidden Crisis. They Need More Male Friends. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. How are your friendships with other men? Let's go to Pete in Green Bay. Hello, Pete.
Hello. Lisa, I kind of had a chuckle when you were talking about feelings and following up with other guys. And I think the relationship that I have with other guys is I'm trying to get away from most of them. I have enough issues, problems in my life. You know, if you're on the verge of jumping off a bridge, call me. If your roof leaks, call me. Anything else, I have enough on my plate. My wife and I both have very stressful jobs. She comes home, she briefs for about 20 minutes. I listen, I nod my head. Maybe I offer suggestions, but I've learned probably not to. I say nothing. I carry enough of that. I got three kids I'm trying to keep control of. I don't have any other emotional energy for guys. You know, I'm trying to stay afloat here, and I'm trying to stay close with my wife. I'm trying to keep her going.
I know kind of where you are there, Pete. Sometimes it's all you can do to stay afloat, Lisa Wade, is to, you know, hunker down with the family and do your job. You can't really invest a lot of time in other friendships.
Well, I think that's unfortunate. And I'm not saying that that's not true for people, because we live in a society that is really demanding in terms of work in the nuclear family. That's just true. But I do think it's unfortunate. And part of one of the things that reflects this idea that grown people should be busy with work and their own families, specifically, if you actually Google friendship and you click on images to see what kind of images come up, they're overwhelmingly childish. They're cartoons and they're teddy bears and they're definitely, it's all about children. And I think that's really sad that in this society we've infantilized friendships as if it's something we're supposed to grow out of, and we're supposed to just find our quote-unquote best friend, which is supposed to be our spouse, and then leave all these other relationships behind. I think that's really unfortunate.
I guess I'm kind of missing what should guys be talking about that would fit the friendship prototype that you're arguing that we don't have. I mean, I guess
even just the kind of things you're talking about right now, right? That, oh my gosh, it's such a struggle. I'm trying to keep my life together, and it's there's so many demands on me, and work is demanding. I'm trying to keep my wife going, and it's really tough.
Yeah, but he doesn't want to hear that. He's got the same thing going on with him. I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm kind of a little bit more pragmatic from the standpoint that, you know, sometimes my friends and I, we joke. I thought of something the other night, and the best gift I gave you was I didn't call you and bug you about it.
Well, you know, Pete, I guess what we're saying is that there's a difference maybe between men and women here, and that women are, at least according to this research, talking about these things with each other, with their close friends, and men are not.
Or at least less so. Yeah. And I'm not saying that every man and every woman in America needs these kinds of friendships, but many, many men and women do want them.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Pete, for the call. Pat in Burlington is with us. Hello, Pat.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to share a brief memory I had. I was living in Austria. This was 20 years ago, in a small village, and I was leaving a street fair, and there was a father with his son, and they were holding hands. And the son must have been 11 or 12 years old. And, you know, they weren't crossing the street or anything, and they walked this way for a long time, just on the sidewalk. And I guess, you know, the memory stayed with me. Here it is 20 years later, just because I never see a father holding their son's hand when they're that old. And I was just wondering, you know, how the relationship with the father might impact having a close emotional relationship with another man.
Hmm. Lisa Wade?
So we certainly, we do see boys learning how to distance themselves from other people at exactly that age in the United States, and more so here than in many other countries. And so that I can see why that would have stuck with you. And that is exactly the age at which men start to talk about not needing friends, and at which their risk for suicide really starts to skyrocket as well.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Pat, for the call. I'm going to kind of backtrack just a little bit. Our caller Pete was saying, well, what kind of friendship are you saying I'm supposed to have? Your point in this article and this research was not necessarily that you are saying, hey, man, you must have this relationship. But American men who didn't have friends were saying, I wish we did have close, intimate friends.
Oh, absolutely. And I think Pete's confusion, it might be that Pete's just not that kind of person,
mm-hmm.
But I suspect that, you know, this is part of what I mean when I say men don't necessarily learn how to be friends or no, they don't have the right models, they don't have a lot of practice. The fact that he finds it confusing to even imagine what a friendship like that would be like is maybe a good example of just how unprepared men are, and maybe partly because they don't get it modeled from their dads. For having intimate friendships.
Bob called in to say that he's a Vietnam vet and he doesn't agree with you. He says, we combat vets have very close relationships because it's all we have. We have fantastic relationships with each other and have for many, many years. So there are exceptions to this rule, Lisa Wade?
Well, of course. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course. And I think the military is probably a really good example of the kinds of struggles that men can go through that bring them together as friends. And it might be similar to why we see, for example, African-American men being closer as well, because they're also facing a common enemy.
Yeah. Let's go to Brandon in Milwaukee next. Hello, Brandon.
Hi. My comment was that I was wondering the data between men that are single or men that are in couples. I think that most men have their friendships out of necessity, and that when they're in a committed relationship with a woman, they tend to have less male friends. And I'll just take my answer off the air.
Is it different if they're married or have a girlfriend?
Well, as you mentioned at the top of the hour, when men do have a confidant, three-quarters of the time it's a woman, and usually that person is his wife or girlfriend. So it's absolutely true that men turn to women for emotional support. And that, as a woman, that makes me feel good and sort of heartwarmed. But we also need to notice that we're sort of putting the role of supporting men in our society on the shoulders of women almost exclusively, or in majority, right? And so women are sort of carrying this burden of supporting men in our society in terms of intimacy. And I'm happy to do that as a woman, but I think men need other men, and that men could share in this work of society.
And it's interesting because I've seen other research that if we have a good social network, we're probably going to live longer. It's good for our health if we have friends. And most men do depend on their wives to be the leader of their social network, too.
Absolutely. Having good friends is as good for you physically as not smoking and maintaining a healthy weight. It's a really big deal.
Mike on Facebook says, I am a male. Wait. If as a male, you want a deep, intimate friendship, you automatically look to females. It's not that they're somehow better friends, but being raised in a culture where deep friendships between males isn't acceptable, you just instinctively avoid the risk associated with attempting that kind of friendship bonding with other males. So kind of a similar point to one of our callers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds like exactly what the research has found, that it really is it's a risk to open up to other men if you're male, and that you risk being seen as less than, a less valuable person, less status in the eyes of other men. We really do have a male hierarchy in this society where some men are seen as better than others, and this is part of what's creating this need for men to perform masculinity.
If a guy does not have a girlfriend or a wife, I mean, you think of, I don't know, the guys who get together for, you know, bachelor parties and, you know, going out to the bars, and they seem to have more of a tribe of friends when they're younger. Do they not?
Yeah, but these are often the shoulder-to-shoulder friendships that are really about activities, which are fine and good. But there's often less disclosure in these friendships than we see with women.
Yeah. Talking with Lisa Wade, she is an associate professor of sociology at Occidental College in Los Angeles. She is a regular contributor to Jezebel, Salon, Ms., and the Huffington Post. She, by the way, received her master's and her PhD in sociology at UW-Madison. She is the author of a recent article on Salon entitled "American Men's Hidden Crisis: They Need More Friends." And we wonder if you are a man who thinks you need more friends, closer friends, intimate friends. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm talking with a guest sociologist who says that adult, white, straight men have the fewest friends of all people in America. And when they do have a close friend, 3/4 of the time, it's a woman. We are talking about why this is and why it matters and what can be done about it. And welcoming your questions and experiences at 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Glenn in Stoughton is with us. Hello, Glenn.
Hi there. I just want to stand up a little bit for the shoulder-to-shoulder interaction between men. I have a couple of good friends that we're both so busy with work that we just don't see each other much anymore. But earlier this year, we went down to a big comic book convention with my friend and his son, and we spent 12 hours together between riding the train down there, walking around, and, you know, we spent a lot of time shopping and geeking out about pop culture, but we also talked about work and our relationships and all that stuff. It's just it's nice to coat it with this other fun stuff that we're doing together, you know.
Yeah, so you can be shoulder to shoulder, but also do some face-to-face stuff, Lisa Wade?
Oh, absolutely. And that's probably how a lot of friendships are and a lot of really healthy friendships are. The research shows that adding that face-to-face stuff is what makes the difference. So insofar as friendships they boost your well-being, your happiness, and your physical health, then they need to have that face-to-face part. But the shoulder-to-shoulder stuff is great, too.
Yeah, so what Glenn does have a very, very close, intimate friendship there, even if, you know, it's renewed going to a comic book convention.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm.
Glenn, anything else?
I will say I wish stuff like that happened more often. it's just tough. I would say part of it is what we're dealing with this economy. I mean, everybody I know is working constantly, and they just, you know, if they've got time, they feel like they need to spend it with their family.
Mm-hmm. Anything further on that, Lisa Wade?
Well, I think that's absolutely right. And so these problems that men in particular, but both men and women, face having intimate relationships with friends, they're not problems of the individual, right, where the individual is the source of the problem, the cause, and the individual certainly can't be blamed. It's about culture, ideas about masculinity and femininity, but also how we organize our societies and what sort of resources that allows us to make friends, and time is certainly one of them. And we live in a time where we don't give people as much leisure time as they might need.
Well, let's see. Let's go to Austin in Rochester, Minnesota. Hello, Austin.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What's your experience?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Go ahead. What's your story?
You know, I've got a lot of friends. I only have a few close friends. And what I found is, you know, men, we have a certain language that we speak to each other that we don't speak to women. You know, they'll never understand. Sorry. But, you know, those close bonds that I have weren't things that happened overnight. You know, I feel like men as a whole, we're selective on our friends that we are willing to share those, you know, intimate conversations with. And, you know, we all have a friend that I've just met, you know, a week ago, and we can hang out and have those shoulder-to-shoulder interactions. You know, the close friends that I have, you know, there was something that clicked, you know, whether it be an event or something that we have in common that allowed us to have those deep relationships that we can sit down over a drink and have, you know, those relationship conversations about this, that, and the other. So,
go ahead,
sure.
Lisa.
It might be that men have, you know, because it's such a risk to be open and emotional with other men, it might be that men need a lot of trust and a lot of time together before they're able to open up to one another. Whereas for women, opening up is perfectly compatible with being female and the idea of femininity. So it's less scary for us to open up to women we don't know as well. That makes good sense.
I'm curious about is this language that we'll never understand, Lisa Wade. Is there? Did you understand that?
Well, I think that men and women really do live different lives in our society because our society makes gender so important, and that's part of why I think men do need male friends, because men are going to understand them in a way that maybe women can't, and that's really important. I don't necessarily think it's true that it's impossible for women to understand men or vice versa. Men and women are more like each other than they are anything else in the universe. And so, and a lot of the research that I'm talking about is from men who are doing this research. So I think that the idea that we are we're from different species or from different parts of the universe is simply not true. But I think it's important to have people who understand you.
Thank you, Austin, for the call. David on Facebook says, thank you so much for having this discussion. I am a man in nursing and just did a presentation on why more men are not going into nursing, which included much of what your guest is saying. I'm sorry. In summary, this starts when we stratify our kids to be tough boys and sweet girls. However, like your guest suggests, girls can be tough, but boys cannot be sweet. This is grounds for social punishment. Furthermore, our dads do not model emotional wellness, which I believe is bullied out of men throughout their lives. And so the cycle continues.
Mm-hmm.
The cycle does continue, Lisa Wade?
Absolutely. You know, we talk about gender often is something that's really harmful to women. And it is true that women, on average, do more of the undervalued and unrewarded work of our society. But when it comes to sort of individual, moment-to-moment, day-to-day freedom to just sort of be who you want to be, women have a much better deal than men. And that's paradoxically, it's because of sexism, because we value men and masculinity, but not femininity necessarily, men are expected to avoid femininity. It's a stigma for men to do it, whereas for women, doing masculinity is great because we love masculinity because it's associated with men. So women can have a balanced masculine and feminine traits and hobbies and careers in their lives, whereas men are expected to stay on this one side of the binary. And so even though that one side is the more valued side, it's certainly not freedom. And in fact, in my article I wrote, it's actually oppression all dressed up as awesomeness. Mm-hmm. Men don't necessarily feel oppressed because the thing that they're told to stick to is the stuff everybody likes. But they are still being restricted in their lives in really important ways.
Fred in Burlington is with us now. Hello, Fred.
Hello. This conversation is really awesome, and thanks for having it today. As a father of three, I can really identify with the caller from Green Bay in a lot of ways and what he said, and I would kind of like to answer his question on what we should be talking about as men to each other. And, of course, it's going to be different for each person and individual, but I think it's dropping masks, getting rid of the masks, and being authentic with one another and being able to talk about what's really underneath and the things that are really happening in our lives and bothering us, which was kind of what he was bringing up. But, you know, we get overwhelmed and we don't have enough energy and time to devote to that because it can be draining to do that. And what I found for me that's helped quite a bit is a men's group. There's an organization, it's a national organization called the Mankind Project. And I thought I was pretty together and had it together. And so I went in and did a weekend with them and ended up becoming a member with the Mankind Project. And it really is about just dropping these masks and dealing with each other on an authentic level, which is not easy to do. But when you do it, you really get comfortable with yourself and you really grow a lot. So.
Interesting. What about that type of a group to help men develop closer friendships, Lisa Wade?
I think that sounds lovely. And a lot of men talk about this mask that they have to wear that sort of makes everyone see only the one half of them that they're really allowed to be by society. And so when they can, those groups are nice because it's a very explicit agreement among men. We're going to talk about what it means to be a man and how we feel about it. And so that kind of takes some of the risk away from the individual who's reaching out one-on-one to people in a more random sense.
Well, we've heard from mainly men during this hour. We do have Cindy on Facebook who writes, it may be exhausting, overwhelming for women to be the sole friend to her husband. Mm-hmm. She's talking about a friend of hers, I'm sure. How can she encourage a husband to venture out to talk with a friend about their stresses?
Right. And this is what I mean by exporting this responsibility to women in our society, which, of course, we do with all types of care work, everything from nursing to taking care of children and doing things like the holiday shopping and the holiday food preparation and decoration. We do a lot of the nurturing work we export to women. So if she has, she may need to teach her husband or boyfriend how to be a good friend and sort of walk him through how to do it. So we'll use the same example we did. Like when his male friend has a surgery, she may need to be the one to, you know, sometimes what will happen is the wife will call the other wife and ask how her husband did in surgery and then report back to her husband.
Mm-hmm.
So the women do the work of communicating. She may need to really teach her husband, oh, no, you can call. You can call directly and ask how it went and do that urging. And that again, it takes time and energy and emotional space and reserve. But it is one way to help the men in our lives learn how to be better friends. And we cannot blame them for not knowing. They just don't get the practice.
There was that old stereotypical complaint from some men that their wives would never let them go out with the guys or would get mad if they, you know, were out with the guys. Is that still a part of this?
I think that insofar as men are always doing stuff together, maybe the thing that they choose to do is something that the woman finds threatening. But I think wives need to balance what they think their spouses might need and what they might need and what might be good for them.
Jeff in La Crosse is with us. Hello, Jeff.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Real good. Good day.
Yeah, go ahead. What's your story?
Okay, I was just calling to say that, hey, I just lost a real good friend last year, and we used to say, I love you all the time, and and we skated together, we play hockey together, we play softball. All our lives, just goofing off and just great guys. And as far as intimacy, there's a few more friends that I just say, hey, I love you, man. Nice to see you back. I love you, man. and then we just move on. But there's always that fine line where it's nobody that's going to be, you know, funny, like any funny business. So we kind of shut that down right away and let them know that, no, we're not. Mm-hmm. I'm saying I love you because, you know.
Right. And, Jeff, I'm very sorry when you said you lost a friend.
Oh, yes.
And this was through death, or was it some other way?
Yes, yes. Yes, he had lung cancer, and he never smoked. So, and that's my greatest friend in the world.
I'm so sorry for your loss, Jeff. But he says that he did have close friends like that. Lisa does have close friends. Your response?
Yeah, I mean, I think we are seeing a lot of evidence today that men do want these friendships and they need each other, and it's always horrible to lose a close friend, and especially when men are restricted to having so few, right? It makes them very vulnerable to having a tragedy like this happen and then having very few other people to talk to in the same way.
This is interesting. We have Matt and Jen email. Has your guest looked at the relationships between males of primate species? Do apes have male friends?
I have looked at animal friendships, and it's not something that scholars have spent a lot of time paying attention to, because we've been particularly interested in especially primate competition. And there's a wonderful observation that for years, there was all these publications on male primate competition. And then somebody asked, well, what are they doing when they're not fighting? Which is the vast majority of the time. It turns out they're cooperating. But we were biased in thinking, oh, primates are so competitive and aggressive with one another. That was really us projecting our stuff onto them. But we do know that animals of many different kinds of species have friendships that matter, that they will remember their friends. We know it at least with elephants and dolphins, that even if they've been separated for 20 years, they'll immediately recognize someone that they knew in a prior capacity. And so they absolutely have friends, and having friends is also related to measures of well-being among primates. So both males and females that have friends are more likely to reproduce, and they tend to be healthier. Average.
We have just a minute to go. What would you like to leave our listeners with when it comes to male friendship?
Well, I would love if this conversation could just remind men that want friends that they're not alone, that many men want intimacy in their friendships with other men, and that it's not necessarily easy to put oneself out there and take the risk and open up, but that it's absolutely worth doing, and that there's a good chance that there's some men in their lives that will really react positively.
Thank you very much for being with us.
I'm happy to do it.
Lisa Wade, Associate Professor of Sociology at Occidental College in Los Angeles. She received her master's and PhD in sociology from UW-Madison. She's the author of a recent article on Salon, American Men's Hidden Crisis. They Need More Friends. Thanks to Christy Taylor and Marika Saval for producing this program. This is the Ideas Network.